We are in the middle of a series focused on servanthood and serving other people. Now, I would think at this point, you may be asking, or you've already thought this in your mind, why is this something that we need to spend this amount of time looking at? What makes this so important? And I ask myself that same question. I've been asking it since we started this. Even before, as I felt like that God was pressing me and preparing me for this, I kept saying, God, why? What's the big deal? Do you talk to God like that when you pray? Do you know you can? You can talk to God just like you talk to each other. You can do that. Don't try to talk to God when you pray in King James English. God does not speak King James English. I know that we've been raised that way. I was raised that way. Yes, the King James Bible is a fantastic translation of the original Latin and then going back to the Greek and the Hebrew. But it's hard to understand sometimes. And that's why I have recommended that you use a little bit more of a modern translation so it's easier to understand. And again, if you have any questions about that, I'd be happy to talk with you about it. But you can speak to God in a way that truly expresses your heart. And I've done that with him. God, what's going on here? Why are we going in this direction? What is it about this that, in this case, makes this important that we understand what it means to serve? Well, I came to a conclusion that had two parts to the answer. And I'm not suggesting that this is the only answer, but for me, it touched me the most. The first is this: we serve because it is a visible expression of Jesus Christ in our lives. A visible expression. We have talked about this before, that people that proclaim to be a Christian, that words only go so far. And as a matter of fact, they really don't go that far at all. Words are those things that we use many times when we're just tired of doing something. Let's face it, how many of us are experts at making excuses?
I'll go up first.
Yeah, I mean, excuses are an easy thing that we do, and we become masters at putting these words together that will help us to achieve a particular goal without having to invest much of ourselves in it. But serving is a way that the people around you see what it is that Jesus Christ has done for you. Because from the very beginning of this series, we have said that serving begins where? Where does it begin? In the heart, right? Begins in the heart. The presence of Jesus Christ in my life. So that's the first thing I thought of. The second one was this: serving is what Jesus exampled for us. He did it as an example to follow him. I don't know about you, but when I think about living the Christian life, I can't think of anyone else that I want to exemplify or follow or copy than Jesus Christ. I remember working for a man who was fairly prominent in Christian circles, at least in this region, and someone said, "Oh, you're so-and-so's disciple, I see." And I went, "No, no, I'm not. I'm not his disciple. I'm Jesus' disciple." Yeah, they're gifted men, but we have to be careful about following men. I don't want you following me. I want you to follow the one that I follow. That's what our goal should be in our lives. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Don't look to me, look to the one that I look to." And so to serve one another is to follow, to demonstrate, to be an example following Jesus Christ. And again, here's what he said in Matthew 20, 28. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, giving of your life is the ultimate act of service. Now, don't think that that only means, well, I have to die for someone. That's not the only reference of that. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice, did he not? And there have been countless numbers of men and women who have sacrificed their lives for someone else. But it doesn't have to be at that extreme for you to be demonstrating who Jesus Christ is. Serving is giving of your time. It's giving of your materials. It's giving of your desire to want to see someone else excel, do well, keep them from harm, keep them from having to deal. Those are all examples of how we serve one another. Well, we were in 2 weeks ago. I know it's a long time ago, long time. And then the hurricane came in last week, so I don't even know if you remember what I talked about. The hurricane was my father, by the way. So we talked from the second epistle of John a couple of weeks ago. And this week, I want to go to the last one, the third epistle. You can turn there now if you like, 3 John. It's the third to the last book of the New Testament, Revelation, Jude, 3 John. These are the shortest books, some of the shortest books in the Bible. But they say a tremendous amount about serving, and in particular, the act of service that is hospitality. Welcoming someone into your home, welcoming them into your life, that's what hospitality is. And again, our actions are born out of our hearts. This is where it begins. And so turn to 3 John, right at the end. You have it? I know a lot of preachers go, say amen when you're there. I didn't say do that, but they say that. I've had some guys, they say stand up when you've got the scripture. And I'm always like the last one. I'm going, is my Bible not right? Do I not have all the books here? Is this the abridged version? Okay, 3 John. That's when you have to find a book like Hezekiah. Or is Hezekiah a book? I just made that up. Okay, Obadiah. How many of you saw the first thoughts here? It was Obadiah the other day. Anybody, was that today? That was yesterday. Obadiah. Check that out. Obadiah is a great book. Yeah. Did my dad get off track? Because I'm off track all the time. And I was just, I'm trying to see if I can blame that on him somehow. I just, all right, the third book of John. It says the elder. This is John identifying himself. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. I'm going to come back and talk about that specifically because that's a bit of a strange sentence if you're reading through there. Verse 7, it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Verse 11, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Now, at the time of the writing of these epistles of John, he is the last surviving original disciple of Jesus. The rest have all been martyred. John is the only one that lived to the end of his natural life. You know that. All 11 others died because of the gospel. So what we're seeing even there is they served to the very end. They gave themselves to the end. This brief letter is unique for a lot of different reasons, not the least of which is it's one of the very few that is written to an individual. Most of the letters that we read, the things written by Paul, with an exception, and of the rest of the Gospels, are all written to churches, not to individuals. But it's addressed to this man by the name of Gaius, who was more than likely one of the church leaders of the small church there where they were meeting. John writes this from the town of Ephesus. Again, remember, that's a book that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, probably around 85 to 95 AD. That's not long before John would die on the island of Patmos in exile. Well, like his second letter, John is writing about a very specific topic. He's writing about kindness. He's writing about love. He's writing about care for other people. Do you see a theme emerging here? That to serve is to care for the people around us. It's to care for the people that God brings into your life. And just like in the second epistle where John is writing to the chosen lady and her children. Do you remember that? He writes there to caution the people about those that are coming in that are not of God. Well, this third epistle is different. Because what he is doing here is he is commending Gaius for what he's done. He is saying to him, you are doing a great job. How important is that to hear? I think it is. You know, I think we have to be careful because we can easily demonstrate a false humility when someone wants to be kind to us. Is it okay to accept a compliment? Sure it is. Absolutely. It's okay. That feels good, doesn't it? When somebody compliments you. I try to be very complimentary of the people in my life. I try to say nice things often because I know how that feels. Now, again, people can do that falsely. You ever had somebody do this? You try to say something nice and they go, no, stop. A lot of times that's what that is. It's a false way of trying to get people to say even more to you. That's not what we're talking about. As a Christian, in all humility, God blesses us by having people come up and encourage and say good things and nice things. That's what John's doing for Gaius. He's saying, listen, pal, I have heard all kinds of people telling me what a wonderful job you're doing. I have the privilege of hearing people talk about you. Did you know that? I hear what they say about you. I heard my dad. My father, first thing he said to me, man, he said, your people were so warm and they were so welcoming. I said, yeah, I know. They're great. I hear that constantly. People that'll come for the first time, friends, or I'll tell you who does it a lot are couples that I marry. Remember, we've had some couples that have shown up here that I was going to perform their wedding, and they were there basically to make sure that I wasn't a lunatic and that you guys weren't going to caution him going, listen, you don't want him doing your wedding. I try to keep him away from Jeff and Christy, to be honest. Yeah, I'm not sure how much I want them to say. But I hear all the time, they come, they invariably will say to me, I have never felt so welcomed in a church than when I walked in to Remnant Life. Now, I say thank you on your behalf, but they're not telling that to say I do good. They're going, your people are wonderful. I go, yeah, I know. I say that all the time too. I brag about you guys constantly. It's amazing you don't all have these massive heads walking around because I'm just so grateful for you. It's good to hear those things. And so John is taking the time to say, well done. But here's the other thing that I thought was very important about what John did. He said these things to Gaius because that's who Gaius was known to be. A man that was generous, kind, welcoming. So let me ask you a question this morning. How are you known? How do people know you? You've always heard that thing that says if you were ever put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You ever heard that? Reference that a couple of times. So let me ask you the same question. If someone were to ask to describe you in a word, in a sentence, in a phrase, what would they say? What would they say about you? What are the prominent elements of your life? Now, my hope for us, my desire because of God's presence, is that people are going to say some kind of a reference that reflects Jesus in you. So they might say, well, boy, I'll tell you, he's about as nice a person as you could imagine. She's as sweet as she can be. You know, all she talks about is her God. I mean, she just, that's what she talks about all the time. And I wonder, Gaius was known for being hospitable and loving and kind. What are you known for? What do people know you by? Now, that's not an easy thing to reflect on. I appreciate that. That may be a hard, maybe some of you are going, okay, I'm done with that now. I don't want to think about that anymore. And yet, do you know that as a child of God, it is never too late to change the direction of your life? That doesn't mean that you don't know Jesus Christ, but how is it that people see him in me? By what actions, by what words do people see Jesus Christ in me? You know, men, I think for us it's harder. I really do. I think it's harder for us because we have been given an untruth about how we are supposed to live and how we're supposed to act. Come on, men, what have you been told since you were little boys? Suck it up. Come on. You're not going to cry, are you? Or my all-time favorite, you start crying, I'll give you something to cry about. Well, you just told me you didn't want me to cry. Now you're going to make me cry? Make up your mind. What do you want me to do? Come on, parents, you've said that to your kid. Don't sit there looking all pious at me. You know, for men, I think many times there's such a danger of being aloof and detached because we are under a pressure to appear a certain way, to be manly, to have all of the answers, to not get knocked down, to be strong, to be the leader. And yes, those are all very important things. But Satan takes those, and like he does everything else, he twists and perverts it, turning us many times into people who don't know how to relate with others. And you look back at your own life, and you think about your children. Think back with your relationship with your father or your grandfather. And men, I think we have come to a time when we need to confess before God that we need to change the way that we do things. We need to change the way that we express ourselves. If I ever want to find out the kind of involvement a man has in his family, I'm not asking him. I'm going to his wife, and if they're old enough, I'll ask the kids. See, that's how you find out. That's how you know how invested you are. You cannot be a person who exhibits hospitality if you remain detached. Now, ladies, I don't want you to be looking at your husband and going, see, told you. No, no. We are all a part of that. Women have different ways of doing that, different ways of being detached if we're not investing ourselves. You see, Gaius was demonstrating a way that we should all embrace in our lives. We welcome the people around us. We love the people around us, even when they're not lovely. See, it's easy in here, isn't it? Come on. It's easy in this room with these people. I thoroughly enjoy every single one of you. There's not one of you here that I would go, nah, I don't want to hang out with them. Well, Donna, once in a while, I kind of feel that way. Okay, that's not true. And some of you I know very well. Others of you I'm just getting to know, and I'm looking forward to all of that because my life is richer because of you, because of how you input into my life. But what about those people that you don't feel that way about? Are you still responsible to love and be hospitable and serving to them? Or does that cut off when you go, you know, they're not very nice to me. You know, I've heard some things that they've said about me. You know, at the time when they did this and that hurt me, does that absolve you of that responsibility? No, it doesn't. See, this is where it gets difficult, because up until this point, it's nice and easy. But now you've got someone in your life, or God brings someone, which is more than likely what's going to happen. He's going to bring that person across your path. Because let's face it, you've got somebody in your mind, a face just came up. Face came up, you went, oh yeah, that guy, that girl. I guarantee you, if you're asking God to show you how to love that person, he's going to give you an opportunity a lot sooner than you want. He's going to bring them right there. Like I said, it's like praying for patience. You don't just get patience. God allows circumstances to come to help you to build your patience, to build your trust, build your faith. The same is true with those people that you go, you know, I would almost be rather anywhere else than where they are. And yet, we have been given a responsibility as God's children to love them, to care for them. All right, I'm going to get even worse with you now. See, I hadn't been here for a week. I didn't have a chance to do this, so I'm going to come back with both barrels blazing. What about when you're nice in a situation? What about when you serve and no one thanks you? You're not getting the recognition that you think you should. Well, what's the sense of doing this if nobody's going to thank me? You know how hard I worked and nobody came up and said one word to me? You know what that is? That's pride. Pure and simple. It's pride. And it's the thing that Satan wants every single one of us to find a reason to embrace. My feelings got hurt. I'm not doing that anymore. That's what they said to me. They're not going to be a part of my life anymore. That's what they are like, truly. I see this on Sunday. They're like that. I don't want them in my life anymore. And yet you could be the very one that God has selected to speak into their life to help to bring a change that's going to create a situation and a circumstance that is far more reaching than you can possibly imagine. See, that's how God works in our lives. All right, real quick, I want to look at a few of these verses, and I want you to see what it is that John is saying here. So look at verse 5 and where we just read. He says, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. A serving heart offers hospitality and is faithful to the command that we love the people around us." And that's what John is saying to Gaius. He said, "I am delighted in what it is that you are doing." Because again, serving other people is a physical demonstration in my life. You can pray and say, "God, I want to serve you. I want to serve the people." But if you don't do it, what's the good of the prayer? What is it that you're asking God to do for you if you're not willing to do that? And you see, God, here's the good news, church. God is patient. Somebody ought to say amen when I say that. God is patient. He's patient with you. He's patient with me. He's a loving God. It's the enemy that comes and tells you what a lousy Christian you are when you do something that he tried to get you to do in the first place. Do you know that? Satan trips you up, tries to get you to do something, then he comes back around and says, "Well, you're a terrible Christian. Told you. Knew you wouldn't." And see, John is saying that when we serve one another, that we are furthering the kingdom of God. When you serve God in whatever capacity that looks like, you're serving the kingdom. You're advancing the kingdom. So when we do things here at Remnant, when Vance is involved with the ministry downtown Harrisburg, whatever it is that you're involved in, you are furthering the kingdom. All of the things that we do for God are for Him. They are to see people knowing that God has made a difference through Jesus Christ in my life. And see, size doesn't matter. It doesn't. I think sometimes we get led to believe that if it's only a massive conference, if there's thousands of people present, well, man, that's really great for God's kingdom. If there's 500,000 people or 50,000, whatever it was, marching on the Capitol, and listen, that was outstanding. That was wonderful. Do you know that what we do here when we pray together is just as powerful and as important for the kingdom as what they did in Washington? Because it doesn't have anything to do with the number of people. It's what's going on in our hearts. It's us coming together to warfare for God, to take back ground that has been taken from us. And see, that's what I want us as a church family to understand. And it doesn't have to be on Sunday. It doesn't need to be me making the prayer. You do that in your home. You do that in your car. Do it at work. Do it at the grocery store when you're standing behind that lady who's searching for a coupon for 35 cents off a can of cream corn. No idea where that came from. Might have an issue. I have to talk with you, honey. I don't know. Maybe that might be something. Those are the places. Those are the times. that we war for the kingdom. Because it's every moment of our lives. It's all that I am. It's all that you are, is serving God for the kingdom. Verse 6 then, he goes on to say, they have told the church about your love. He's talking about Gaius. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. You see, serving God consistently is what the world needs to see from the church today. Consistently. And I got to be honest with you. I think too many times we give ourselves a pass on the way that we act when we shouldn't do that. I'm having a bad day. You know, I didn't sleep well last night. Yeah, things at work are just tearing me up. And I mean, that's why I'm acting the way that I am. That's why I'm snapping at people around me. That's why I don't want to have anything to do with what's going on over there. And see, as a Christian, consistency, it's what's going to show the world we're different. Watch, I didn't say better. I said we're different. And why are we different? Because of the presence of Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference in my life. That's what makes the difference in the way that I respond to situations, in the way that I deal with what it is that's coming. Whether it's difficult, whether it's a blessing. You know, handling blessings can be just as much of a challenge as handling trials. What do you do when things are really going well? What do you do when God is pouring out heaven to you? See, many times we go, I got this now. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll be back when I got problems. No. No. Every day of our lives, in every moment, in every circumstance, is about serving Him by serving His people. See, that's what God's looking for in a church in this hour. And am I alone in thinking that we desperately need a church that's willing to stand up now? Is willing to hold the line on the Word of God? To not compromise? To refuse to allow culture to dictate what the Word of God says? You see, there was a time not that long ago where the church was the influence in the community. Now, it's backwards. Now the community influences us. Can't do that, can't say that, can't talk about that. Yeah, I'm going to. If it's in God's Word, this is the measure by which we stand on as a church, as a pastor, and as a family. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, but watch, I just want to say, he said, you need to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. I wanted to come back to that and want you to see what he's saying. Basically, what he's saying is, when you're done, bless the people around you. Bless them and send them on their way. So when I'm serving in an event at church, or when I'm serving in my community or home, I want to pray blessing over those people. And you know how you do that? You don't expect thanks. You don't expect any recognition. You do it because you're serving Him. And by the way, pay it forward was not a concept created by Hollywood in order to make a movie. Pay it forward is a biblical concept. When you love others in the name of Jesus, they can take that and do the same. You say, well, wait a minute, they don't even know Jesus. It doesn't matter. God's power to work in a person's life goes beyond what we can understand and what we can comprehend because of how great that He is. Okay, about to wrap this up. Look at verses 7 and 8. He then says, it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that they may work together for the truth. Church, we all serve the name. The name. The name is what? It's Jesus Christ. When Christianity first began, it was not called Christianity. Any of you know what it was called? What is it? Thank you. It's called the Way. That was what Paul and Saul, before he became converted to Paul, that's what he was trying to extinguish. When Saul of Tarsus was going around arresting believers, he was trying to squash the movement called the Way. That became Christianity. But you see, those that worked in that time to spread the word, they had to rely on each other to be able to accomplish that. And see, there again is another concept of reliance on one another to help, to love, to care, that's been removed from our lives. What is it in today's culture? Stand on your own two feet. Do it for yourself. Look out for number one, taking care of what's most important. And see, that attitude has infiltrated the church in many ways. You see, that's why I fuss at some of you when I find out afterwards you needed help with something. I fuss at you when I find out later you had a medical procedure and you didn't tell me. Now, I'm not going to come and do the operation, all right? So don't get nervous about that. I'll let somebody else do that. But we are a family, and we rely on one another. You are not bothering me when you call me. You know what every one of you say to me all the time? I'm going to punch you in the side of the head. You always go, well, you're so busy. I don't want to bother you. You're so busy. We're all busy. What kind of voice was that? I've never done that voice before. Wow. I'm going to have to work on that. I kind of like that. That was weird. But we're all busy. Do you know what's more important to me than you? Almost nothing. I will stop anything that I'm doing. I will change my plans if I at all can to accommodate what you need. And you know what? I'm not the only one in the room that feels that way. Because we all should be that way for one another. Just because you can't get a hold of the pastor doesn't mean now you're on an island alone. Every single one of us should be available to just say, hey, what do you need? What can I do? And you know what? I promise I'll tell you if I can't. All right? Does that make you feel better? I'll tell you if I can't, but I probably will. Because that's what it means to serve. That's the example that Jesus Christ gave to each one of us. Now, real quick, what prevents us from doing that more than anything else? And I already told you before, but I think you know the answer, and that's pride. And John even gives an example of the church. He says, hey, you know Diotrephes? He's a guy who loves to be what? First. Loves to be first. Well, you know, first is not only a physical position. First is an emotional one. It's a mental one. It's even a spiritual one. I want people to come to me before they come to anybody else. That's what being first means. You see, be careful how I say this, otherwise you guys will think I'm just laying down somewhere. I would be delighted if you didn't need me to do much of anything, because you're doing it. That should be the goal of every church. Or I'm not doing any more than any of you are doing because we are coming together to say, hey, this is who we are. This is what family does. And listen, before you think, well, what's he saying? I'm saying just what you're hearing me say, because I know I'm blessed here as a pastor with you folks. You folks are kind and loving and giving. Well, we set up, Bill's not here, but we came and set up for the last time we came together. We were done in, it was almost no time because we had people that came to get it done. That's what serving is. It's accomplishing what it is that God's called us to do. You can't do that if your focus is on yourself. And that's all that comes down to. You see, the Word of God, let me just tell you something here. I'll come off to the side. I saw my dad do that. Remember he did that? He walked off to the side to say, okay. I learned that from him. He didn't learn it from me. The Bible is not as complicated and hard to understand as we make it. It just isn't. Now, I'm not talking about theological truth that can go one way, go another, sit down, discuss the book of Revelation, you got your hands full. Because there are many, many ways that you can look at that. And by the way, I'm going to start a series on that after the first of the year. So I know some of you guys are excited about it. Going, Revelation, excellent. Come with your thinking caps on. That's hard. But you know, the rule of God, what he calls us to do, how we're to treat one another, how hard is it? I don't think it's as difficult as we make it. Love one another. Love the people around you more than you love yourself. If someone needs something, you don't only offer that, you offer to go more with them, because that's love. And see, with a man like Diotrephes in that church, there are those people who say, no, I'm first. And when that happens, it brings division into churches. It becomes a place where when we're so concerned about how things are happening and who gets what and they got said that and how come they get to do that and I don't get to do it, when we come into that kind of thinking, then you've got a church that is focused on the wrong things. And And see, my hope and my desire, my prayer for this church is that as we continue to grow in whatever way that God chooses for that to be, it will always be as family, as one. One of the most dangerous things that can happen in churches is when there are cliques that get started. If you've ever been to a big church, they are hard to keep out because people tend to gravitate to the things that they like and the people that are like them. But you see, I'm always going to do everything I can in this church and for us church to keep that from happening. Cliques, they go, well, we have common interests. No, you're divided. You're not together. And I want us to be a church that people will look at and go, listen, man, they're little. They meet in a gymnasium room. You know, I spent countless hours in rooms just like this when I was teaching. This is like coming home to me. So either get with me or I'm going to make you drop and give me 15. So just, I'm just saying. But God wants us to just simply serve. Serve Him first. Serve each other second. And then serve the kingdom of God, whatever it is that He's doing, because it's in that that we come to the place of understanding what it means to demonstrate who He is in our lives to His glory. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning that You are present here with us and that You are teaching each and every one of us what it means to serve. And God, this is not about a particular circumstance. It's about a condition of our lives. It's about our hearts being filled not with self, but with giving to others. It's a heart, God, that is filled with Your presence, so much so that it impacts everything that I do, everywhere that I go. It doesn't change when I go somewhere else. It isn't different if I didn't get enough sleep or if I'm having a bad day or things aren't going the way I wanted to. Father, forgive us when we allow the world to change who we are, because we are saved. We have been given a new life, and because of that, Father, I pray it would be demonstrated by how we live. So God, I thank You for each and every person here. God, I thank You for their hearts to serve. I thank You for how generous they are. I thank You, God, for their love for You, for one another. And I pray, God, that as we continue through our lives every single day, may we stay focused on You to know that You are our source, You are our strength, and we give You all the glory. It's in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you folks. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I'm sorry. Oh, thank you.